Hello and welcome to another edition of The Debate. It's election time in Lebanon, time to elect a new president. With the current president, Michel Suleiman's term ending, yet Lebanon's parliament failed to elect a new president since no candidate secured the two-thirds of the votes needed to win. Now, many lawmakers left their ballots blank. Divisions do exist in the parliament between the two powerful blocs, one centered around Hezbollah, the other opposed to it. Well, in this edition of The Debate, we'll discuss why this election is perhaps one of the most important in Lebanon's history, especially given the conflict in Syria. We'll also discuss whether divisions over the issue of Hezbollah's arsenal are still valid, given that recently both March 8 and some members of the March 14 came together when it came for Hezbollah to fight the terrorists inside Syria.
Lebanese lawmakers have left a first round of presidential election with none of the candidates receiving the two-thirds majority needed to win. Lebanese forces leader Samir Jaja got 48 votes from the March 14 bloc. 52 members of the parliament cast blank ballots, while moderate figure Henry Hulo from Walijim Blot's bloc received 14 votes. What was interesting in this election is that some seven ballots included the names of a former prime minister and political figures whom Jaja was accused of assassinating during the Lebanese Civil War. This seems one reason why members of the March 8th, including Hezbollah, Amal, and the Free Patriotic Movement, decided not to vote for Jaja.
None is going to vote for Jaja. None. It may create certain kind of bad memories. So let's go to forward to have a trial test today.
However, most of the March 14th MPs considered that the past must be forgotten.
We as March 14th Alliance were united. However, the other side seems politically incapable of electing a president. And those who speak of past assassinated figures are reminding us of the civil war. And they should remember that there is a civil peace and that past mistakes should be forgotten.
As lawmakers entered to take part in the first session, tens of Lebanese gathered near the parliament to protest against the candidacy of Samir Jaja, with banners reading, "No to the Israeli agent." Parliament Speaker Nabi Hibiri has called for a second session on April the 30th. However, if there is no clear consensus, the next session will also fail to find a successor to President Michel Suleiman. Hezbollah and its allies have stressed that they want to work towards a strong president who could help strengthen the army to face Israel and Takfiri militants. With only 1 month till the end of President Michel Suleiman's term, Lebanon has still not chosen a new head of state. It's not clear how many more rounds there will be to choose a president, but what is clear is that at least half of the Lebanese parliament will not vote for Samir Jaja. Mariam Saleh, Press TV, Beirut.
Let me introduce our guest for this edition of The Debate. We have author and journalist Mark Glenn joining us from Idaho. We have professor and lawyer George Salwan, who joins us from Beirut. Gentlemen, welcome. George Salwan, let me start with you. The first round of voting has taken place. No candidate securing two-thirds of the votes. The breakdown, 124 of the parliament's 128 members were present. You had about 52 of the votes that were blank. You also had a second candidate, Henry Hulu. Got 16 votes, one submitted for Amin Gamayel, and seven votes were deemed void. Of course, you had Samir Jaja, who got 48 votes. Can you give us your take on the breakdown of the voting results that I just gave to you? George Salwan?
Sir, you know. Yes, yes. Do you hear me?
Yes, we have you.
Yes. So about the results of this first round of elections, presidential election, I think that the only two candidates that have been chosen until now were from the 14th of March, Mr. Samir Jaja, and the candidate of Mr. Walid Jumblat, Mr. Henri Hello. So I think that the results speak for themselves. Mr. Samir Jaja got 48 votes, and Mr. Henri Hello got 16 votes. I think that the 52 blank ballots paper cannot be somehow give any indication of the results of the elections, but somehow a veto for any election of the 13th president of Lebanon, unfortunately. Otherwise, I think any third candidate should have been decided to run, and essentially it was General Michel Aoun who should have been the third candidate, and he might have got 52 or 59 votes. But for now, I think the candidate of the 14th of March has got the most important results of this first round presidential election.
Well, Mark Glenn, let's talk about the fact that the Syrian war obviously plays a big factor in these elections. Do you see that as being a kind of a sign of who the next president of Lebanon is going to be, given the fact that many are deducting that the next president of Lebanon needs to have good relations with the future president of Syria?
Yes, it's not just having good relations with the president of Syria, but as well understanding that wolves are aligned all along Lebanon's periphery and borders, not just in the form of these Takfiri terrorists who have caused so much mayhem and murder in Syria, but as well Israel and the United States, who are effectively watching what is going on in Lebanon right now very closely, and would love nothing more than to see someone like Jaja being elected as Lebanon's president, given his past and given what he is likely to do as Lebanese president in the future. In building this wall between Lebanon and Syria, in curtailing the influence and the power of Hezbollah, and in general opening up Lebanon to a more pro-American, pro-Western, pro-Israel, pro-NATO even, as odd as that may sound in the Middle East, to these influences. So I think that the stakes are very high, particularly given the overt influence that the United States and Israel and the West have played in the destruction of Syria, to the point where I think that Jaja and his party are in effect immobilized. They really have to be careful about the nationalist rhetoric, about the rhetoric of Lebanon being a quote-unquote independent sovereign power, when you see this kind of destruction taking place next door, and given the fact that it is now a known fact all over the world that this destruction that has taken place in Syria has been as a result of the direct influence of Israel and the United States.
Well, let's talk about Samir Jaja a little bit more, George Salwan. Perhaps you can tell us about him. We know that he's not obviously for Hezbollah, but at the same time, you know, he has been criticized for crimes committed during, for example, the Civil War, 1975 through 1990. And also he's, well, we had a report that one of the politicians, not from Parliament, said that he's pretty much an Israeli agent. I mean, what is his association with Israel, and how does he stand, in your opinion?
Excuse me, if I hear well, because the sound is very low. Not you might increase it for a while, please. But if you're asking about the relationship between Jaja and Israel and about the crimes he might have he committed during the war, isn't it?
Yes.
First of all, you know, we are in 2014. Either we have closed the area of the civil war that ended in 1990, and you know, there is no moral war, there is no proper war in general, and you see what's happening in Syria. Unfortunately, we had a civil war from 75 to the year of 90, the 1990, and I think many of the warlords are still in power and are still present in the parliament, and many of them have a great influence in the running of the government, and they are also participating to the government, the actual government. So please, I am with a general mea culpa for all warlords, but without, you know, I'm not a member of the Lebanese forces, but with Mr. Jaja in his party, but you know, I have to be fair. Either we make a general mea culpa for everyone, all the warlords in Lebanon, Christians and Muslims, and then we